Beginning of Parshas Kisisa, the Torah introduces us to the mitzvah of Matzah Shekel. The Torah writes something very interesting. It says that when Klal Yisrael will give the Shekel, v'lo yeh b'hem negef b'fkodesam. There won't be a negef when you count them. The Gemara in Yumot Avchavetam with Beis brings from this Gemara, the Gemara brings a din. Actually, not from this Gemara, the Gemara brings a din. And you're not allowed to count Jewish people directly. You have to count them through something else. You're not allowed to directly count Jewish people. The Gemara brings a pasuk in Navi by Shaul HaMelech, that we learned by Shaul that when Shaul wanted to count the people, he used little straps to count the people. So the Marsha asks over there in Yuma, why do you have to jump to a pasuk by Shaul? It's a pasuk in the Torah. V'lo yeh b'hem negef. It sounds like the reason why we had to use a machzah shekel was if we were to count the Jewish people directly, it would create a plague. So the Marsha over there answers that the v'lo yeh b'hem negef is not referring to if he would have counted the people by number. It's referring to that the purpose of this Machzah Shekel was to mechaper on the Chet Egel. The V'lo yeh b'hem negef is not that if we count people 1, 2, 3, everyone would die. It's because the purpose of the Machzah Shekel was to ensure that Klal Yisrael survives post the Chet Egel story, which many people learn, and Mefarshim learn, that the connection between the Machzah Shekel and the Chet Egel, that through the Machzah Shekel it somehow is a mechaper for the Chet Egel, and therefore says the Marsha in Yuma, it's not a raya from our Gemara. In the beginning of the parasha, the Torah introduces us to a very important person in Klal Yisrael's history, one who is attributed to building the Mishkan. Plus, he tells us, "Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Leimer Re'ei Karasi B'Shem Betzalel Ben Uri Ben Chur Lamata Yehuda." The Torah gives us the background of this special individual who was zeichet to build the Mishkan. His name was Betzalel, the son of Uri, the son of Chur. So the Medrash asks, if you look further on in the pasuk, when the Torah describes another person that was involved, it talks about Eliyav, he just quotes him Eliyav ben Achisamach. We don't go another generation. Why are we going three generations? Just stop there. Betzalel ben Uri, you know, weiter. We don't have to go all the way back to his great-grandparents and all the way to Darius. Why do we take it a third generation? So the Medrash says, because Betzalel had a very important grandfather. His grandfather was Chur. Who was Chur? Chur, we know, when the whole story of the Chet Egel broke out, Chur stood up for Kvod Shemayim. He said, we can't do this. This is ridiculous. You got to build a Avoy Dezara. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to come back, relax, calm down. And we know ultimately what happened to Chor was he was killed. So therefore writes the Medrash, the reason why the Torah is Mesiaches, Betzalel ben Uri ben Chor, is to realize that this was a payment, says the Medrash. Bezchus, what Chor did, he was zeichet to have a Betzalel. Writes the Medrash, not only did he have a Betzalel, he ended up having another grandchild whose name was Shlomo HaMelech, who built the Beis HaMikdash. But I think there's a deeper lesson over here from just that, you know, one good deed gets another good deed. What was Chor's godless, if you think about it? Chor's godless was he stood up against... Oh, we got a key. Okay, terrific. Okay, thank you. Chor's godless was that he was able to... Thank you. Thank you so much. Chor's godless was that he was able to stand up and say, I'm going to do what's best for the people. Chor said to himself, building an Avodah Zarah or giving in to the people who want Avodah Zarah is not ultimately the best for the rabbin. This is not what's good for us as a people. This wasn't Chor's private glory that Chor cared about. He was stood up for the greater tzibur. So therefore, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to reward you with a grandchild that's also going to do something not for himself. The godless of Betzalel wasn't that he was a handy guy who would have built a mishkan. He built something which will be mezakeh the rabbim, something which will benefit society. The mishkan benefited all of Klal Yisrael. Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash benefited all of Klal Yisrael. That's the midah keneged midah. When a person stands up and says, "I want to help Klal Yisrael," because Baruch Hu gives him a schus that his children will one day do something great for Klal Yisrael. Many times you see people today and you wonder, where did they become so great, so to say? And if you look back at their grandparents, you'd see they did things to stand up for their community, stand up for their shul, their institutions. When a person gets up and does something for the Tielis HaRabim, not for his own glory, his own covet, Chor didn't do it for himself. Chor did it for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu paid him back with a grandson that's going to do things for the benefit of Klal Yisrael, not specifically for one's own benefit. The Pasuk tells us, right around discussing the building of the Mishkan, the Torah writes the prohibition of Shabbos. A person has to guard Shabbos, keep Shabbos careful. So Rashi writes over there, what's the connection? Says, Rashi, to teach me that you're not allowed to build the Mishkan on Shabbos. So I always thought this is a very important lesson for life. Many times when we as individuals pick a certain thing that we're into, a certain organization, a certain cause, we get very, very fired up about it, and it really engulfs our life. And it takes over everything. I see this more with high school kids, is they get into something important, very important. Many talmidim, they give a chabura. That's all they focus on the entire day is preparing their chaburah. They don't show up to regular shir. They don't show up to regular seder. They don't do what they're supposed to do because all their focus is preparing their chaburah, which is a beautiful thing in theory. It's nice. You're learning Torah. But the Torah is telling us just because you're engulfed in something that's very important does not mean that everything falls to the wayside. Very nice that you want to build a Mishkan. Very nice that Hashem wants you to build a Mishkan. But there's other rules and regulations that have to be taken into consideration, such as you can't build it on Shabbos. So the Torah is giving us really a lesson for life when we get, you know, excited about a cause, excited about something important. Many times it completely takes over our life to the point where everything else falls to the wayside. Says the Torah, that's not correct. Everything in life has to be with a balance. Yes, building the Mishkan is clearly important, but it's not important enough to be done on Shabbos. And many times people come up with these cheshbain as to why they think it is, and you have to ask yourself. But the Torah says it's not. You have to. Everything has to be done balanced. Everything has to be done al pi seichel haTorah. So therefore, many times we get excited about things, and it's good to get excited, and it's important. We need activism in life, but we have to remember that it can't take over all the other important rules that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. The Chet HaEgel is obviously the theme of Parshas Kisisa. Everyone talks about the Chet HaEgel. I'm going to at least admit that I don't know anything about the Chet HaEgel. I'm not even going to try. It's a very Shver story. There's nothing to talk about. This and the Meraglim are the two Shver, of the two Shver stories in the Chumash. Yeah, the easy way out is many of Farshim do is we'll just blame the Erev Rav. We'll say we were really good, the Erev Rav were the troublemakers, and we got slapped by the troublemakers. That's nice and easy. Is that completely true? I'm not sure. But it's easy to say it, but it's a very difficult story, however you're going to slice it, to understand exactly what took place, what transpired during the time of the Chet HaEgel. We also know that we're still feeling the pain of that story that happened so many years ago. But what's interesting is there's an unbelievable Medrash. Medrash says the following, that when Moshe Rabbeinu was first told about what was going on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, listen, Moshe, this is what's going on. They're doing bad, they're misbehaving. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't do anything, doesn't act upon it. He comes down from Shemayim, he sees it, he breaks the luchos. Frank the Medrash, why the wait? Why you have to first come down? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you what's going on. You can't get any better testimonial than HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling it to you. So what's the delay? You heard the bad news, break the luchos, move on. Says the Medrash, and I thought the shul has the sefer. I'll quote you the words. He writes like this: Hodiu Moshe Derech Eretz LiYisrael. Moshe was using this as a teaching lesson. Says the Medrash: Afilu sheyeodem shemei adovem min yichidi neman. Even if you heard something from the most reliable person in the world, i.e., Hakadosh Baruch Hu, says the Medrash, also lekabel v'lasois dovar. You're not allowed to act upon it. Im einay roya if you don't see it yourself. Says the Medrash. That Moshe Rabbeinu heard Mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Klai Yisrael sinned, but he had no right to act upon it, to actually break the luchos until he came down from Shemayim and saw it with his own eyes. What a powerful Medrash. Moshe Rabbeinu heard from Hashem. There's no room for error when you hear from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But says the Medrash, Moshe used this as a lesson, a teaching moment for Klai Yisrael, that you're going to come across times where you're going to hear reports from people and statements from people, and we're very quick to believe it. They're reliable people, they're trustworthy people. Says the Medrash, do not act upon it until you see it with your own eyes. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu could not break the luchos until he came down and saw it with his own eyes. Now, I think there's a very important deek in this Medrash. The Medrash says, don't also lekabel v'la'asois dava, to do something. What does the Medrash mean by to do something? Because we spoke about this quite a few times already, the story of Gedaliah ben Achikam. The Mashal writes, in I think Maseches Nida, that Gedaliah is somewhat blamed for the tragedy that happened after he was killed. So the Mashal says, what did Gedaliah do? He was murdered. Said the Medrash, because the way the story happened, as is described in the Gemara, Gedaliah got a report from one of his people that they were planning to kill him. And Gedaliah's attitude was, no, I can't believe it, can't be. Not one of ours, not a Jew would never do this to another Jew, and he threw the whole thing out. Says the Marsha, that was incorrect. What you should have done was taken the information, investigate, and then move on from there. Says the Marsha, a person can't just say, I can't be, throw it all out. The Medrash is saying, you shouldn't act upon it. Doesn't mean you shouldn't take the information and investigate it. Moshe Rabbeinu did that. He investigated. He came down to Shemayim and looked around and see what was going on. Same thing says the Marsha. You have the right to investigate. You shouldn't go around killing people based on hearsay. But just to take reports and just to completely disregard them is also incorrect. Says the Medrash, if you want to act upon what you hear, you have to make sure it's as reliable, more reliable than hearing Mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Medrash. The Sforno has a different shot. The Sforno says that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to come down and see how the Bnei Yisrael interacting with the Chet HaEgel. Meaning, a person could do an Aveira and you could see on his face that he feels bad. feels guilty. He doesn't feel comfortable in what he's doing, but he does it because the Yetzer overtakes him. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to come down and see what's their face. How's their body language? Are they enjoying this newfound experience, the Echad Egel? Or you can see, and this is so true. Like sometimes we do averes and we're not happy when we're doing it, and you can see it on our faces. And there's sometimes we're very, very happy. We're enjoying the fact that we're not doing what's right. So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to come down to see what's their body telling me. What's their attitude? And when Moshe Rabbeinu saw their attitude, it was such simcha. They were so happy, like this was the perfect world. Then Moshe Rabbeinu said, okay, now you're completely guilty. That's the way the Sforno learns, that the bigger tviya wasn't so much the fact that they did the aveir, was that they were happy with doing the aveir. People do aveirs, it happens. But to be so tzefrid and so enjoying it, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to see. And once Moshe Rabbeinu saw that, then Moshe Rabbeinu had to throw down the luchos. The Gemara in Erevin tells us that without the Shviras HaLuchos, if the Luchos would have never been broken, no nation would have ever been able to attack us and cause us harm. Which is why I was always wondered, Shivasa B'Tamas, five things happen in Shivasa B'Tamas. Four of them all have to do with Beis HaMikdash, or enemies affecting the Beis HaMikdash, and one is Shviras HaLuchos. So it seems to not fit in to the other ones. It happened to all have been on the same day. But what's the connection? The connection is the Gemara says in Erevin. Because without the Shviras HaLuchos, no one would have ever been able to attack us. So all of the casualties that happened at Shivasa B'Tamas, and therefore post Tisha B'Av and post that to Tisha B'Av, were all because of Shviras HaLuchos. Says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, the breaking of the Luchos was the biggest present Moshe could have given the Bnei Yisrael. How do you figure? Says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, because if he wouldn't have broken the Luchos, so then no nation would have been able to attack us. So the only way HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be able to get it is if HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself would, so to say, harm us. Which would be much more significant than if a nation did it. Now that Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchos, now the nations get us. Okay, it's not coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not as powerful as a punishment coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, it was actually one of the greatest gifts that Moshe Rabbeinu did. And the Gemara says, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Yashukayach, thank you for breaking the luchos. It was a good thing. In the story of the Chet Egel, Aaron is in a very tough position, clearly. He's in a very difficult place. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down and kind of gives him the... He's in the right act. Well, what happened over here? Well, I left you here, and when I come back, all is going crazy. So Aaron HaKohen basically said, I was trying to stall time. I was trying to delay until you came back. What was his cheshbon? His cheshbon was, if I ask everyone for the jewelry, no one would part with their jewelry, and therefore, I'd be able to buy time. And the truth is, the women did not part with their jewelry. The women did not, the Medrash tells us. The men forcibly removed the jewelry from the women and threw it into the fire. So the Medrash tells us, that b'schus the women were not parting with their jewelry, they merit to have the gift called Rosh Chodesh. Women don't have to work on Rosh Chodesh, whatever that means exactly, la halacha, is a little bit of a discussion, but they have a special gift called Rosh Chodesh. So the obvious question is, what's the connection between one and the other? Why is, because they didn't give their jewelry. If anything, you should buy your wife jewelry on Rosh Chodesh. That would be more befitting. I'm not suggesting it. That would be more befitting of a midah k'neged midah. Why was this? So the answer is, if you look in the Medrash describes what was the thought process of the women. The women saw this whole story, and they said to themselves, you guys are all crazy. This makes absolutely no sense. You're going to give jewelry, and put it into a fire, and build a god, and this is going to replace Moshe Rabbeinu. The whole thing makes no sense. Many years ago, I remember I was in a shul, where Rav got up and said on Parshas Kisisi, he said, can you imagine, make a pizza, put it in the oven, and the pizza comes out of it, and you say, oh, this was the pizza that took me out of Mitzrayim. You just made it right now. It doesn't make any sense. You just made it right now. How can this be the thing that took you out of Mitzrayim? Sounds funny to think about like that. But the women believe that this doesn't make any sense. The women said to themselves, you guys are crazy. I'm not parting with this. So therefore the men took it forcibly and threw it into the fire. If that's the pshat, so the godless of what the women did during the times of the Chet Egel was they actually stopped and thought. Instead of just acting on impulse, which sometimes men do, and just quick, don't think, they stopped for a second and said, let's think this out. This doesn't make too much sense logically. Let's rethink this, and we're not going to do it. The beauty of Rosh Chodesh is a mini new start of a month. It's a new start. The beauty of a new start is only if you think about how you want that new start to look. Meaning having a new year or a new month is only as powerful as the preparation time that you put into it. So the godless of the women, because they stopped and thought and used this idea of preparing and thinking long term, we give them a gift on Rosh Chodesh, they don't have to work. What does that mean they don't have to work? It means they have time to relax and to think about, what do I want this month to look like? Most of us are so busy, we don't even have a chance to think about how we want the new month to look. If they have a gift, they get to stop and you know, sit down on a chair and think to themselves, how do I want this new month to look? Because it's just that they stopped and thought about, what does it mean to have, what does it mean to have an egel? After the terrible Chet Egel, Moshe Rabbeinu comes to the defense. The greatest defense lawyer in all of Jewish history is Moshe Rabbeinu. What was Moshe Rabbeinu's great claim? Now, if you had to write the defense for such a sin, I'm not sure where I would start with defending the Jewish people. But Moshe Rabbeinu goes a very interesting angle. His angle is, what are the nations of the world going to say? They're going to say, you took them out of Mitzrayim just to kill them in the Midbar. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's major defense for saving the Jewish people. Very funny. Why was that defense of Moshe Rabbeinu? So the obvious answer is, you see from over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats Chil Hashem very seriously. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory is going to be knocked, it's going to be pushed aside, that's a motivational reason alone. Although the Jewish people were guilty as can be, no one was debating their guilt. But because it would lead to a breach of Chal Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu knew that's something Hashem takes very seriously. So therefore, Kol Shekin, we have to take that seriously. If Hashem is obviously very moved by Chal Hashem, we have to make sure that when we do things, we're not Chas V'Shalom causing Chal Hashem, because that was the pushing, the motivation to start the tshuva process for the Jewish people, was the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory, His honor, would somewhat be insulted, would be harmed, and that got Klal Yisrael out of a very difficult situation based on the Chet Ha'ev. Okay, we left over here last time we talked about Gittin. We spoke about a Gemara. The Gemara talked about the following scenario. A husband gives a get to the wife, and he's holding on to a string that's connected to the get. So the Gemara says, well, it depends. If he can pull back the string and yank the get out of her hand, the get's no good. If he can't, then the get is good. Based on what premise? So the way we learned the Gemara, again, we'll still need to come back to this Gemara. The way we learned the Gemara is based on a premise called Agud Gabe. Husband and wife are not allowed to be connected once the get is given. They have to be completely severed, no connections whatsoever. So therefore, if the husband gives the get and he's still holding on to the string to the point where he can easily pull it back, he's still connected to the get. That was what we learned about a few weeks ago. What I want to talk about today is the Gemara, which we talked about also a few weeks ago, but I want to go through it a little slower, maybe a little bit more detailed. There's a very interesting Gemara in Daf Chof Amud Beis. The Gemara starts off like this. Here's your get, but I retain ownership of the paper. That's the deal the husband made with the wife. Zark the Gemara ain't a megareshes. The get's no good. You can't do such a get. Now the Gemara doesn't say why. The Gemara doesn't give us an explanation. The Gemara just says no good. However, says the Gemara, Menashe tachzirili esaniyor. If I give you the paper, I'll zamatona manazlach. You have to return it to me. I raise a megareshes. That's fine. Why? Because we know b'chala terikula. There's a rule called matona manazlach. Zeshma matona. That's okay. Then the Gemara goes one step further. Boyir of Papa ben shito l'shito ben teva l'teva. What happens if his husband says, you know what, I'm going to keep on, you can own the paper, but I want to own the part of the paper between the letters, between the words. That much I want to retain. Is that a problem? So the Gemara says, take. Not sure. But again, the Gemara is clear. If the husband retains full ownership of the paper, no good. If the husband retains part ownership of the paper, the part that doesn't affect the actual words, says the Gemara, that's a take. We mentioned this last time from the Ritva spoke out, let's say the husband says, it's a big piece of paper, and the writing is only in the middle part, and he says, I want to retain the top and the bottom and the sides where there's absolutely no words. Says the Ritva, that's pashat okay. That wasn't even a suffix to the Gemara. The suffix of the Gemara was over here, when we're talking about between the letters, between the words, maybe that's different. But the parts of the paper that are completely not touched, says the Ritva, the Gemara never discusses it, because the Gemara thinks that's okay. So the question that we have to discuss today is what's wrong with giving a get when the husband retains ownership of the paper. So Rashi writes in number 2, Eina Migureshes, says Rashi, the kivan da haniyor shaloi, since the husband owns the paper, loy nosan loklum, he didn't give her anything. The nimtzu, because it comes out, oisyeis peirachais ba'aver, because what comes out is that the letters are flying in the air. An interesting comment from Rashi. Rashi says seemingly two statements. The first statement is there was a lack of a mice in the Sina, because what did you give her? What did you give her? You gave her a piece of paper which she doesn't own. So that's not going to be considered I gave her anything, and maybe I gave her the letters, well, the letters are not there. So Sagd Rashi, it's no good. Okay, we need to talk more about Rashi in a minute. But that's Rashi Shita. Which, we'll talk about that. Yeah. Now, it seems like from Rashi that the problem over here is the problem in the Venasan. This is not a good in the Sina. What would happen if the husband gives her a piece of paper and then 5 minutes later he says, you know what? Keep the paper. That wouldn't be good. Because the first Nesina wasn't a Mice in Nesina. And if he tells her to keep the paper, that would be like, he'd have to make a new Mice in Nesina. The Rambam in Hilchos Gerush in Perek Ches learns a slightly different shot in the Gemara. Says the Rambam, why? So this Rambam is more in line with what we spoke about in the Gemara before, that we're still connected. If I own the paper of the get, then we're still connected to the get. Just like if I have a string that's attached to the get, I'm still connected to the get. If I actually halachically own the piece of paper where the get's written on, so I'm connected to the get. That would be a problem of ogud gabe, what the Rambam calls krisus, and therefore the get would be no good. According to the Rambam, what happens if after I give her the get, 10 minutes later, I say, you know what, keep the get. That would be okay, because my Nesina was a good Nesina. I had a technical problem of being connected to the hip. Once I sever the connection, everything should be okay. So that would be a major nafkamina, pashtus between Rashi and the Rambam. Another nafkamina between Rashi and the Rambam would be, what about if you pull a stick like this by a Kiddushin? Let's say by Shtar Kiddushin. Would there be a din that the Isha would have to actually own the Shtar Kiddushin? Or you could do the same thing by Shtar Kedushin. I write a Shtar, I write a Mekudesh, I say the whole Masech HaShtar, I give her the paper, and I say, you know what? I retain ownership of the paper. would that work for Shtar Kedusha? So according to Rashi, it's a chesaron giving, so if you have to give a Shtar Kedusha as well, this is not called giving. As opposed to if you hold like the Rambam, it's a problem of Ogud Gabe is only a Gerushin problem. That's not a problem of Chalat Teri Kula. So this would be able to be fine for a Kedushin, it should be fine for a Shtar Mechira. Let's say I wanted to sell you land, I wanted to sell you property with a Shtar, and I pull the shtick of, I retain ownership of the paper. The Chayra, we'll see today, maybe not. The Chayra, according to the Rambam, that would be okay, while according to Rashi, it would not be allowed. Third scenario, what would happen if the husband uses the wife's paper to write the get? He writes it on her paper. Real cheap guy. He writes it on her paper. He wrote even splurge for the paper. He writes the get on her paper, and he gives her the paper. So according to Rashi, I would have assumed it's felt in Venosan. But what did you give her? You gave her something which is already hers? That's not called giving. That's mine. That's not Venosan. Unless Venosan doesn't mean...
She the paper.
What?
The Ramana Shaka should work.
Why?
Because, well, if it was her paper,
yeah.
So then it's, yeah, then it's Gezel, and it's nothing.
But well, I think she gives Rishos.
So if he gave her Rishos, then
yeah. No, Rishos doesn't mean it becomes yours. If Nasan means...
He wrote on it.
If Nasan the Torah means that you have to give it in a way where she's actually kind of the paper, she's not kind of her paper. That's what we're going to talk about today. I'm throwing that out now before we see later. We'll see more about this. But according to the Rambam, there's nothing wrong with this. According to the Rambam, what should be wrong with this? He's not connected to her paper, it's her paper. He has absolutely no connection to her paper. The Chayr, according to the Rambam, that should be okay. So there's a bunch of nafkamin.
According to Rashi, you would still be able to say this.
Venosan.
I know you're saying Venosan, but is it the same thing that Oshas or Parachas?
That's what I want to talk about in a few minutes. That's what we're going to see in a few minutes. Okay. There's one more Pshan and Rishonim which is important, and this is the Ritva. The Ritva takes both Rishonim and puts them both together. Says the Ritva, number 4. Why? Because there's leftover in the get. Sounds like the Rambam, they're not severed. So it sounds like from the Ritva, both Pshatim. He takes Rashi, he takes the Rambam, puts them all together. We'll see hopefully later today why this Ritva is very relevant, at least in understanding the Mechab and Shulchan Aruch. But according to Ritva, he takes both Pshatim. And we spoke last week about why would you take both pshatim? Why would you opt for this combo factor? As we'll see in a few minutes, that you might have to based on the simple reading of the Gemara. The Moshul, if you're going to learn the Gemara, that the Shaila of the Gemara had to Oisis Parachas Ba'avir, how do you understand Rav Papa Shaila? We mentioned this last week. If you learn like Rashi, that the problem over here is that the letters have nowhere to go, so how do you understand Rav Papa Shaila? Rav Papa Ben Shita L'Shita Ben Teva L'Teva. What problem would there be if the husband retains ownership of the in between? He's not touching any letters. If he's not touching any letters, there's no Nimtza Oisis Parachas Ba'avir. So Frekt Achrainim, Salvechik and others, that if you're going to go like Rashi, how do you read the next line of the Gemara? So that's where they want to tie in that's goof why the Ritva brought down both Pshatim. The Ritva saw this happening. He saw from the flow of the Gemara, you can't just learn Oisis Parachas Ba'avir because then Boyi Repapa doesn't make too much sense. So because of this reason, and we proved this last week from the Ritva himself, speaks this out, Kamat Mefurish, that the Ritva speaks out that the next step of the Gemara was coming from a different angle. Boyi Repapa was coming from the angle of how much can't the husband be connected to? If the husband's connected to the part of the get that's not so relevant, is that enough to be considered Agud Gabe? So that's the way you would learn Boyi Repapa. Okay.
I don't understand. Why can't you say that it's also just Parachas Ba'avir? Because you just have letters, even though the letters are supported by some paper underneath them, but they're not connected to each other, so they're like floating in the air. There's nothing connecting because there's no parchment in between the Aleph and the Beis. So the Aleph is just hanging over here. If you took all the paper and cut it all out, and you just gave other letters, you just have loose letters.
So let's see how we understand. Let's see what these words in Rashi mean of Nimtza Oisis Parachas Ba'avir. So if you look over here at number 5, the Sefer Be'urim V'Ha'arois, he comes up with another nafkamina, a very geshmaka nafkamina, between Rashi and the Rambam. We already mentioned 3, he mentions the 4th. What would happen if the paper didn't belong to the husband, didn't belong to the wife, belonged to a third party? I write again on a third party's paper and I give it to the Isha. So he says over here in number 5, nafkamina ledina ben shtei atam k'meshu isi v'achweinim. Hecha dan yor enish al habal, elo sh'odam acher. You can't tell me according to Rambam that's Ogud Gabe. What are we connected to? I don't do with the paper. But he says, right. He assumes in Rashi, which we'll need to talk more about, is that if she does not retain ownership of the paper, If she's not the one who owns the paper, automatically has this problem of oisis parachas ba'aver. So it doesn't matter if she owns it, if she doesn't own it, he owns it, or someone else owns it. If it doesn't end up by her, then according to Rashi, you have a problem of nimtza oisis parachas ba'aver. Now, what exactly does Rashi mean when he says that there's a problem of nimtza oisis parachas ba'aver? So if we look over here in the stipler has a very long piece over here in Simon Yudal and Gittin about this whole sugya of Rashi and the Rambam. We put quite a few pieces from the stipler on. If you notice, there's a lot of achrayim on the papers. If you notice.
Right.
See that they borrow the same. That's right. They say,
don't get destroyed over there. So.
We have to see what it means over here. We have to see what it means over here exactly by Parechas Ba'aver. So if you notice, there's a lot of Achreinim over here. They say over a story with Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. And Rabbi Yaakov starts saying Shirin Tarvidas, the Bachim were very unhappy. He didn't say over any wild Achreinim. He didn't say over all the, we call today the Yeshiva Shereid. He didn't say any of that stuff. He didn't say this Ktsois and this Rebchai, whatever it was. So Rabbi Yaakov told him, he said, you guys missed it. When I spoke at the Gemara and I spoke at Rashi, I read it into the words. You just didn't see it. But you didn't understand it. I really spoke it out. I didn't quote it by name. So one day, Yaakov came in and dropped all the big names in Shir the next day. So they asked Yaakov, he said, what happened? He said, I'll tell you the truth. He said, last night I had a bunch of chasanas. I had no time to prepare Shir. So I just looked at all the Achreinim, and I did it the easier way, and I said over, you know, whatever the Achreinim say. So because Purim fell out the way it did, I didn't have that much time to prepare, to be honest with you. So not that I could say a Shir like Yaakov anyways, but I used more Achreinim this week due to the time constraint of preparing the Shir post-Purim. So that's why there's a little bit more Achreinim on the papers this Shir than maybe on other Shir. Okay. Fine. So the stipler writes like this. The stipler says, number 6. So the Yesh Levayr. Lo maharich Rashi lehoisiv hadinim tzu oisiz parachas ba'avir. Frank the stipler, I don't understand. Why did Rashi need the second half of Rashi? Rashi could have started off. The kivan dan yosha loy, loy nasan laklum. Period. What did you give her? You retain ownership of the paper. The din of the Torah says v'nasan. You got to give something. What does the Torah mean? So pasha the Torah means you give her the piece of paper. So Frank the stipler, you didn't give her the piece of paper because giving, at least he assumes, means transfer of ownership. Even though we know that that's not necessarily true. Giving could just mean actual transfer of hands. But Frank the Stipler, simple understanding of giving means to be kainah, so that's the end of it. You didn't give her anything because she retained ownership, but you retain ownership of the paper. So Frank the Stipler, why did Rashi need the second half? Why couldn't he just write, v'leikasa b'pshutai, given the tzarech nesina, ukishani yor shaloi lach midiyobla? Well, what was the second half of Rashi necessary for? Frek the stipler. Pashup Shan and Rashi, you learned that there was no mice in the Sina. Because a mice in the Sina requires that I give you something. Now, we talked a little bit in the Gemara and Bamitzia. If Vinasan really means ownership or just means transfer, Vinasan could have meant I gave you. I definitely gave you a physical piece of paper, right? No one's going to deny that there was an exchange of a piece of paper. So says the stipler, Vinirli Levar. The Nihi, the Mishayir, Hanuel Yatzmoy. Rashi was bothered with the cash. You're right. I retain ownership. I gave her the letters. I had no ownership of the letters. I gave her all the letters she wants. All the words belong to her. Maybe one would have argued that that's sufficient to say I gave her something. I didn't give her a paper, but I gave her the divrei haget. I gave her the oisius haksuvim beget. So maybe that's enough to fulfill the words of Inasan. Says Rashi. So as the stipul lohochi kosev Rashi, the nesinus oisius b'loi niyor ene klum. The havali oisius parachas ba'aver, vein lo oisius teres get el b'tzir faniyor. Says the stipul, that was Rashi's agenda. Rashi was basically saying this is a two-step process. On the paper itself, I didn't give you anything, so that's not of an os. On the oisius, I didn't give you the oisius, because there's no such thing to transfer oisius. Because once they're not on a paper, they're nowhere. They're in the air. They're parachas ba'aver. Vein lo oisius teres get el b'tzir faniyor. Valkoponim says the stipul, if he tam Rashi, ikur hapsol b'mishayr senet, esanyor hu mishum debi ina nesina. According to Rashi, the problem is not that we're connected. The problem is I never gave you anything. I didn't give you a piece of paper because I retained ownership. I didn't give you letters because you can't transfer letters. So I gave you nothing. So the reason why this get's no good is because there was no get. Simple. According to Rashi, there was no mice in Nesina's get because there was no get. The paper was not considered a get because there's no Nesina. And the oasis don't exist. That's the way the stipler understood Rashi. Now if you look in 2b, there's a Rashi in that Ayin Hei Aman Aleph. Daf Ayin Hei Aman Aleph, the Gemara quotes the same Gemara by us. And Rashi gives a little bit more explanation. Says Rashi, Lo yoy v'lo v'lo midi. You didn't give her anything. V'rachmano amah v'nasa b'yado. And the Torah says you have to make a nesina. So Pashup Shan, this Rashi just echoing our Rashi. What Rashi means to say is that there's no nesina because the paper you never gave to her and the letters, there's no such thing called letters. I was wondering if maybe one can learn Rashi slightly different. Rashi says v'rachmano amah v'nasa b'yado. The b'yado is not the issue over here. The Venasan is the issue. He didn't give anything. What's the biyoda? I was wondering if maybe Rashi means that even if, let's say, Naniach, Oisius Parachas Ba'avir, but how do you put that into her yad? How is there an asina of Oisius into her yad? Because they're Parachas Ba'avir, not because Parashim Shah Oisius Parachas Ba'avir means there's nothing to give. Maybe there is something to give, but how do you make a asina liyada with floating letters that don't exist? Because once the paper itself, there's no way to transfer it to her because you retain ownership. The letters don't jump off the paper into her hand. So it's not just felt in a Maisa Nesina, it's felt in a Nesina Liyada. You didn't make a Nesina of the Oisis to her hand. That's what Rashi adds over Rachman Oma Venosan Biyada. It's not just Venosan. It's Venosan Biyada. You got to put those letters into her hand somehow magically, which you can't do.
But magically you did, because physically they are in her hand. You're only in some kind of a theoretical way, they're floating. In reality, I managed to take this floating letters and consolidate them all into one little area and put them into her hand.
But I didn't, because the way they're
if I want to say it's felt a chenasina, but yeah, that's not called a sina. That I understand. I don't understand. The beyond because the point is the one thing that I would say you do have, because you actually have it in her hand.
But you don't, because you have them on the piece of paper, and the piece of paper is not yours to transfer.
That I understand.
So therefore, to me, I look at floating letters just like, you know, floating in the sky. How exactly? But that's the chayra comes out from the stipler's understanding of Rashi. Okay. So the way we understand Rashi according to the stipler is that there's two steps in Rashi. There's the fact that there was never a transfer of the paper, and therefore you're left with just letters, and letters doesn't work for Gershon. If you look at number 5 in the Sefer Biyum Varos, he elaborates a little bit more, again, along the lines of the stipler. And he means like this. I'm sorry, in 6b, he writes like this. What's the pshat? Mashm zedan yor eno etzem haget. This is a very, sorry, it's a gesheil. When you talk about a get, what is a get? Obviously, everyone knows a get is cloth with words. But what is the real nekuda of what makes the divorce? So he says like this: the haniyor en etzem haget. The paper is not the get. Ve'in choivas nesina haniyor be'etzem el deikur haget hu oisius. He understands afaket. The real get is the letters. But there's no way you can give over letters. We don't have a way of giving over oral words. You have to put it on paper. Ve'haniyor rak emtsoy laha oisius. The whole purpose of the paper is just to as a middleman to relay the words from me to you. If there's one way of talking, then there's in writing. In writing, what I'm really doing is I'm relaying the words through the paper. Therefore, so if he understands that if I'm not giving you the paper, and there's no other way to transfer letters, letters can only be transferred, words are the get. The get is transferred, are the words. The words can only be transferred through paper. So if I'm not giving you the paper, the mode to be able to transport the words from me to you, then there's nothing. That's the way he understands Rashi's Nimtza Oisis Parachas Ba'avr.
Rambam reject Rashi?
That's what we need to talk about. Why did the Rambam not learn like Rashi? Why did Rashi not learn like Rambam? And is it possible they all agree to each other?
Rashi, it seems, is hustling it even before the Rambam.
Right.
Good. So Rashi's saying, no, we're not even getting the crisis. We don't have to.
It's more general.
We don't have to get
it. From the get-go, you're already off. Right. So we're going to see the stipler as a piece, which we're going to get a little late today. He's going to discuss that in a while.
Would you serve a way to be give over the ICIs without any or like an email?
Right.
And it's there forever.
Right. Who owns an email? I don't know how that works in ownership. Does someone own an email? Someone own it? Legal property? If someone owns an email. Yeah, I'm not sure. Right. It doesn't have the status of a condition of star.
Star is only a hepatimsa for the ICIs.
Right, but we still have to have there's still dinish stars. At the end of the day, there's still rules of how do you write a star. You can't write it on this type of material, on that type of material, on this. There's a whole list of rules which we'll see may even be applicable to Kedushin.
That would lead you to conclude that it's more than just the words. It's not.
There's a certain way to give over the words. That's what you have to say. There's certain ways that you have to give over the words. That's
paper. If you can define
it
as a
safer. Right.
How do you get to the discussion of something that doesn't reflect the safer?
So I stopped the Gemara in the middle. There's another two lines in the Gemara where the Gemara talks about this type of akasha. Sefer Rechav, Lashnaim Sefer, how does this thing work? Practically, how does this work? So, there is what to talk about, but maybe we'll come back to it, I'm not sure. I'm still trying to get back to Gemara and Bar Metzia about Kenyan Sudr. So I gotta see if we can come back to that topic. But the Gemara asks it. Two lines into the Gemara asks it right after this, the Gemara has that kasha.
But if it did send a get, an email, to the other person, to their computer, which they owned,
and so good.
They print it out, and they now it's in their hands.
Right, there probably would be Tligitech issues, maybe. If that's considered a piece of...
What if they printed it off of your computer?
Right, where's the Nesina?
No. I kept it simple. It's your computer, to their computer.
There's right.
No question. The woman owns the computer.
It's in her inbox. You're saying that when she prints it from her printer.
And she owns her printer.
That would be
she
the scene.
She hits the button and it prints out and now it's in her hand.
It's her paper and her ink.
Right. Everything's
her
hers.
Paper, her ink.
Right. That's no good. That's no good. It's her paper.
It has to be his paper.
Gotta be his paper.
He has a printer that printed off his.
We'll talk more about
it. He owned the paper. He put the paper in the printer.
Okay.
All right. Well. I'm not sure if that would be considered enough to save a Nasan. We'll have to talk
why
about
it. Why is it different than a Shalia?
Why is it different than a Shalia when you send an email?
When
you send an email.
It was Purim, so I didn't have time to figure
it out. I'm not sure. Here. We'd have to think about how exactly that would work. Well, there might be some other psulim involved in a printed shtar, or at least sent that way.
When the sofer writes out the get, is he actually purchasing that and then giving it to her?
The husband buys the paper afterwards. Part of what he pays for the sofer is the shavis hashtar. There's a gevaldika piece from Rebaron, Mishnah Sebaron. Rebaron Cutler goes back to a shayla that we talked so much about here when we were getting the old shayla of, is the isha ever really kind of the get or not? This is, basic 101 in Perek HaZerik, is when a man gives a get to a wife, is she ever kind of the actual paper? Or he just gives her the paper, and then Mais in the scene alone creates the divorce. We spoke many times about the Ktzois, and we quoted it's really a Tersirid, it's really a Machalik Shem Adafayim Ches. We've been through this already quite a few times. And this notion of when you give the get to the Isha, she's not kind of the get, it's just the Mais in the scene. So Rabbi Aaron, in one of his pieces in Mishnah Sebaron, Rabbi Aaron Cutler wants to say that this Shaila is totally an our Machloik is Rashi and the Rambam. Unbelievable. Everything comes full circle. Zok de Baron Cutler that this Machloik is Rashi that we just saw right now between Rashi and the Rambam about how to learn this Gemara Daf Chof is going to be relevant to whether or not the Isha is ever kind of the get. How does he figure? So Baron explains that this in number 7. He writes, V'nir Levar, Im Yesh Din Kinyin Beget. Is there a din that you actually have to be kind of the get? Hainu. The tzar should tikna get. She actually has to own the get. Ukemoi b'chol shtar kinyan. Like any other time you make a transfer using a legal document, you have to actually own the document. Then he said, "Midin sefer amakta ayin b'ktzois lamites kof tzadiyal." That those ktzoisim are all talking about shtarei mominus, not shtarei gittin v'kedushin. Oy desagi b'nesina. Or maybe no, you just need to give the paper. Like many achreinim hold. And what's their big compelling argument? One of the big rides that the Tzais brings, the Tesirid brings it, is that the fact that you're allowed to write it again on a piece of paper that she's not allowed to acquire. Esuriyano, you can't acquire. So how can you write again and give it on Esuriyano? Elamai says the achreinim, mainly the Tzais. It's a ride. You don't really own the paper. You just transfer the paper. Ulechayre says Rebbe near the Talia b'machlokes Rashi or Rambam. That shaila is telling the machlokes Rishayim an argument between Rashi and the Rambam. Ba'adin dahari exegidech vaniyor sholi de'ena megureshes. How on earth does this machlokes Rashi and the Rambam play back to the machlokes achrayim whether or not you're kind of the get who's just making the sina? So here's where Rebbe says the lumdus. The mepirish Rashi the mefarish the nimtza oisis brachas ba'avir. When Rashi uses this lumdus of oisis brachas ba'avir, says Rebbe, muchach de be'inen hakno al haget. He Rashi understood you actually have to own the get. Why? Da pirish de venasan who sheyitan lo legambi b'teres kinyan lo sheniach biyadei. Because says Rebaron, what was Rashi so bothered with? There's no venasan. What do you mean there's no venasan? I gave her a piece of paper. That's all Torah ever asks of me. Frank the Baron, why did Rashi learn that harezi gitach ben yoshli is no good because it's not a venasan? What do you mean it's the best venasan in the world? I gave you a piece of paper. That's all the Torah says. Where does the Torah say I have to give you a piece of paper that you own? It doesn't say anything about ownership in the Torah. The Torah says give. Did I not give you a piece of paper? The mere fact that you can't own it doesn't mean I didn't give it. Giving is a physical transfer. I did that. So Elamai says Rabbi Aaron, Rashi and Vinasan doesn't mean just give it to her. It means give it to her in a way where she actually owns it. Transfer ownership of the paper. So therefore Zogt Rashi, that I didn't give. That's why it's not a Vinasan. So therefore Zogt Rabbi, you see from Rashi, that Rashi learned the Vinasan of the Torah is not just merely give it and you're done. Give it means give it in a way where she can actually own it after the giving. Therefore says Rabbi Aaron that Rashi would hold that Vinasa means you have to actually give it to her in a way where she's kind and not just, I made a mice in the scene and I'm done. That's in Rashi. In the, yeah?
I mean, it's not, I don't think it's so
Lucha
because Rashi also adds on.
Nimzo,
he's meaning that no, it's not that. It's not doing
Kenya.
There's no
scene
at all.
That's back to the stipler's way of learning Rashi with the second step of Nimzo Isis Brachas Baver. Yeah,
and ignoring the second half.
Yeah, he seems to have not focused on the first part of what he do with Isis Brachas Baver. But so, how does the Rambam work out according to Rabbi Aaron? Says the Rambam that Ochin her Rambam pirush din zeh she ain't megureshes she ain't zekrisus. The Rambam learns because we're not severed. What do you mean we're not severed? We got bigger problems. She doesn't own the paper. Elamai says Rabbanan, Mashmid Mitzad Nesina Lekha Chasarin. So the Baron, the reason why Rashi and the Rambam are arguing, the reason why Rambam doesn't look like Rashi, is because under the surface is a much bigger machlokes Rishonim taking place over here. They're arguing about what does the Nasim of the Torah mean? Does the Nasim mean give it in a way where she owns it? Or if Nasim means just give it and be done? So according to Rashi, Nasim means give it in a way she owns it. She does it on the paper, it's not in the Sina. While according to the Rambam, Nasim means just transfer. Oh, I did that! But I have another problem. I transferred it in a way. We're still connected. Oh, that's an ogad gabe. So this was Zokti Baron. It's a gevaldik piece from a Baron that this machlokes Rishonim and our sugya comes back to the old issue. Now, what you really need to do is go back to all the sugyas that we started learning and see, does this fit with all the Rashi that we talked about? We spoke about many Rashis in different places, both in Ayin Zayin and then later on Ayin Ches, to see if this Rashi, the way Baron's learning, it fits into all those Rashis. It fits into the one in Ayin Hay. Yeah, it fits into Ayin Hay very nicely. The question is, if it fitting back to the sugya of Agav and all those other gemaras that we talked about, you have to really go back and plug it in. But that's the way Aaron sets up the sugya according to the Machlokes Rashi and the Ram. The stipler is also troubled by, similar to what Rav Aaron is pointing out, is why did the Rambam not learn like Rashi? What's that spot? Why did the Rambam come up with his own new pshat in the Gemara and not learn like Rashi? If I give you a piece of paper, I didn't give you anything. So according to Rav Aaron, it's because the Rambam holds there's no such a chasarin. The problem is, points out the stipler, there is such a chasar. Says the stipler, number 8, the Rambam's reasoning, says the stipler, is not such a good reason, because his reason will only get you so far. The reason of that, if the husband's still connected, says the stipler, will only help you in a case where the husband's actually connected to the piece of paper. Get on your shalah. What would happen if you'd write a piece of get on her paper? Like a chasar increases klal. You can't tell me, oh no, they're still bound. Well, what bound? It's not nothing to do with the paper. The whole loy agida gets zel lebal klal. So why would the Rambam pick a reason which only gets you 50% of the reasons when he could have picked a reason like Rashi, which would take care of all the reasons?
But is that the flow of the Gemara? Wasn't that the context that this was brought up in? We talk about krisus, and then the next sugya was this.
That what?
The Gemara before, I remember having a problem. Was talking about
Croesus,
right?
No, that Gemara was on Ayin Ches. That Gemara was on Ayin Ches. Ayin Ches, we jump around here. That Gemara was on Ayin Ches, this Gemara is in the second parent.
Maybe according to this, he would say that would be...
So Zok the stipler, what happens when she owns the paper? It's possible if she owns the paper. Why would it be possible? Zok the stipler, it has to be that Venasan means...
Where does he know that it's possible?
We're going to get to that in a second. V'hacha kishan yor shalah, over here when she owns the paper, laf midi yavla, you didn't give her anything. V'hua did the me'oise tam gufa possible min yor hani yali atzmoy, to laf midi yavla. So frech the stipler, the Rambam is backing himself into a corner. The Rambam gives a whole reason of agad gabay, yet according to the Rambam, what do you do in a case where she owns the paper? The Rambam assumed, the stipler assumed that according to the Rambam, if she owns the paper, the get's no good. What reason would there be if she owns a paper it's no good? Must be, because I didn't give her anything. Lav midiki yavla. I didn't give her anything. Now again, according to Reb Aaron's understanding of the Rambam, that's not true. Because the Rambam will say, I don't need to give her anything in a halachic status. I just need to transfer something to her. But according to the stipler's understanding, I got to give her something of new. So how do I explain that case? So frek the stipler, the Rambam should have picked a reason that kills two birds with one stone. He should have picked the reason of Rashi. Rashi's reason takes care of a case where he owns the paper or she owns the paper, instead of picking a case that's only when he owns the paper. That's the stipler's kasha on the Rambam. So basically what the stipler wants to know is, why did the Rambam lock himself into a reason instead of broadening his horizon with Rashi's pshat? Says the stipler, number 9, he says, he says, no, because that's not the pshat. I agree to the halacha, but for a totally different reason. I agree, says the stipler, that everyone would agree if you give a get that she owns the paper, the get's no good. Why? So the stipler thought to himself that the only reason I can understand is because I didn't give you anything. So the stipler, that's not the pshat. What is the pshat? He says, Yeshiv sablavachi, sharayuzed din b'chol hashtaris. This is a general shtaris problem, not a gerushin problem. This is a general problem. Why? The be'inon niyor shel hamakne. There's a din, and you transfer legal documents, you always need to use the paper of the one who's being makne, the one who's giving. Kedamar, he quotes a gemara later on. Now, first of all, let's say that's true. Who's the makne by a get? Uh-huh. It's interesting. Get is a unique situation, right? The husband is being makne what? By kedushin, we know that she's makne herself to him. So by get, we're going to say he's makne her to herself. Like Rashi says in the beginning of the base. Zog the stipler, v'loy gara get mishashtaris, t'tzarech davka niyor shel hamakne. The efshir, the get shani, says the stipler. Maybe not so fast. Maybe get stiffen, she'ena kol k'moy kein shtar hakno. Maybe it's b'chol not a shtar makne. Rak matir. Maybe the whole lumdus is different, says the stipler. Maybe the way you look at it again is not the pshat that I'm giving you back your freedom. I'm freeing you. I'm not doing anything. The Torah says, when I give this piece of paper, your all restrictions are removed.
Yeah, I understand the comparison to all shtaros, because in all other cultural shtaros, I think that's just an expression of your intent to transfer another item. So if I'm selling a piece of land, I write a shtar and I say, this thing now belongs to you, or
right,
a car or whatever.
Correct.
So the shtar is sort of incidental. Here, the shtar is the sefer krisus. It is the item that is being transferred.
Right, but if we're assuming that this shtar has to follow all the rules of other shtaros,
why? That's my question.
Ah, so
in all other shtaros, that's just a mechanism to convey something else. Here,
maybe Gerish is, I want to relay the message that I don't want to own you anymore. Yeah, I want to transfer my ownership to your ownership. Maybe you're conveying the exact same message. I'm showing you that I don't want to own this, and I'm giving you
the word nasan. You have to actually physically give the item.
So you give it. I give the paper, and in this paper it relays my thought and feeling that I no longer want to, so to say, own you. I want to relinquish my ownership, and you retain and give it to you. Just like if I want to sell my property to you, I'm relinquishing my ownership and allowing your ownership to take over.
There are other ways to sell property to somebody else.
Okay.
Here, there's only one way.
That's
to do
true.
It. But nasan.
Yeah, but
more than just conveying a message. It's physically giving something over.
Right. You have to give the thing over. I don't disagree, but I'm not sure why the shtar can't do the same talking as would a shtar of any type of transfer. The argument that the shtar is making is
a safer crisis.
Okay, so it is a safer. It's still a safer.
As opposed to other normal kinyanim, normal shtar.
Okay, you're right. The Torah over here is more detailed than how the Torah refers to this. But that doesn't necessarily change the lumdus of it. I don't think it changes how it's fundamentally working. It's fundamentally working with the same idea that you have a legal document, and the transfer of the legal document creates X and Y outcome.
But according to this, the woman, by
Kedushin,
the woman should
have Zok the Kedushin. What about Kedushin? He says, Shtar Kedushin, Mashma Isha. By Kedushin, this is a chiddush. He says, "Mashmid habal hu amakne esaisha laatzma v'shtar haknah." He assumed that by Kedushin, it's posh that it's working as a shtar haknah. Gerushin is the questionable one. What's a get? Is a get really the pshat that I'm relinquishing my ownership on you back to yourself, or a shtar is more of a halachic thing? The Torah says that when you give this piece of paper, all isurim are lifted and everything breaks. Is it really a shtar haknah? That's what the stipple is underlining suffix. Do we look at a shtar gerushin as a shtar haknah? Or is it, it's a whole different type of experience?
Husband waving his
rights. Right, it's a whole different type of relinquishing. You don't relinquish, you don't own anything.
It's dinim.
It's status. That's always what we talk about. That the idea of a get is it changes the status of the isha and the relationship. So therefore, says the stipe.
Well, it doesn't really change the status of the man.
Right, it doesn't change his status. That's right. It changes. It will change her status. Her halachic status will be affected. So therefore, says the stipler, if that's true. Yeah. He talks about it. What do you do with makish avayla tzi? It's going to get complicated. Always the question is when we're makish or what we're makish. Therefore, says the stipler, lufiza efsher the das harambam who the ain't no tzricha matam the nesina b'shikasva on yerushalisha. Says the stipler, if this is all correct, the kasha is not a kasha anymore. What was the kasha? How does the Rambam deal with the case where the paper belongs to her? It's venosan. It's not a venosan issue. It's a general shtaris problem if the makna doesn't own the paper. Therefore, the Rambam didn't need to come onto venosan for that. For the problem of the makna owning the shtar is a problem of chol shtaris. It's not a gerushin problem.
Is that true? If I sell you land and I give you a shtar,
yeah,
sell you that land, or you
give Pashtus
land,
is
and
asking.
I don't own the piece of paper that I write.
That's
on,
correct.
It's not a good sale.
That's what he's saying now. Yeah, that's what he's basing from a gemara.
What if it's a niyar of a third party?
So it would sound like that wouldn't be good enough either. It would have to dafka belong to the makna. This is not an ogud gabe where it can't be connected. It sounds like it has to be misyachas directly to me. Okay, one last piece of the puzzle, and then we'll break it down on another level. Reb Shimon Shkab has a gavaldik akasha in Simen Hey. Frak Reb Shimon, he doesn't understand, according to the Rambam, the way the Rambam learned our Gemara, according to the Rambam, if I give the piece of paper over to the lady in a way where I still own the paper, that's called ogud gabe. We're bound, we're connected. Frech Reb Shimon, if that's true, how do you ever give a get bal karcha? Says Reb Shimon, when you give the get bal karcha, what's happening? We know you can't be carrying things against your will. So when the husband gives her the piece of paper, she does not halachically own the piece of paper. So who does own the get? The husband owns the get. So if so, says Reb Shimon, you're left with a situation that every get that takes place bal karcha is a situation of agud gabe, because the husband is attached by ownership in a way that the isha is not carrying the paper and the husband owns the paper. So that's ogud gabe according to the Rambam. So ask Reb Shimon, how do you ever have a gerushin bal karcha according to the Rambam?
But the Torah allows you to.
Ah, okay, good. Okay, so let's see. So Reb Shimon, let's read the way. Well, what about according to Rashi? Why is it any better according to Rashi? Where's the Venasan? You didn't transfer anything.
Oh, there's a good Maisa Messina, but she may not have wanted to receive it.
But according, if you learn Rashi Kipshutoi, that Venasan means, like, let's say the way Aaron learned Rashi. Venasan means a transfer of Kenyan, you still have the same problem, right? So Reb Shimon Bavarn says, let's just read it inside for a second. Says Reb Shimon, "V'hinei tzarich lahavin, kasher isha miskereshes ba korchoi, maya din haniyar im konsa yisei alav." When a lady gets divorced against her, what's the status of the ownership of the paper? "V'hinei l'chay api reishes hashkofa," simple analysis, "hayinir loymed ba korchoi konsa yisei," he owns it. "Dim loykin api tamish l'arama mishum krisus, vaday dim loy konsa yisei niyar l'choshev krisus." If she's not going to own the paper, then we're going to have a problem of ogad gabe, dakad the ogad gabe. The Lefiyat Tam, because of Rashi, says Reb Shimon, at least if you hold like Rashi, Hayyamakam Laimai the Dafkim Ainaroy Talitis Aniyar. Maybe if he doesn't want to part with the paper, then Rashi would tell you he didn't make a mice in the Sina. Then Lechosh in the Sina. Avam who writes Lahaknas law. If the husband's willfully, not like Vanyar Shali, he doesn't want to part with it. Or where he has a string attached to it. He wants to part with it. He wants to give it over. Vahi Ainaroy Tzabekach, and she doesn't want to accept it. Choshev Gabedi Dana Sina Choshuva. Maybe that would be considered a Choshev in the Sina. This is not the way Reb Aaron learned Rashi. Right, we have a subtle machlokes achrayim between Reb Shimon and Reb Aaron. How to learn Rashi? Reb Aaron learned according to Rashi, the nothing means you have to own it. Reb Shimon says, "Nothing means doesn't mean you have to own it. But nothing means you, I have to give you as much as I can give to you. And what you do with it is your problem. I have to completely give up whatever ownership I have. I give to you. So therefore, says Reb Shimon, according to Rashi, I did that. So why is it no good? Avlo tam hayrambam leka nafkusa." However, says Reb Shimon, if you don't like the Rambam that we're connected, at the end of the day, we're still connected. You don't own the get, I own the get. It's all good. So the part of the answer, I think most of us are thinking, is that's all inclusive in the Gzeir Sakasa of Bal Korcha. The whole idea of Gerish Bal Korcha is a Baal Mechidish. No one understands it, and it works. So the same how that works, it's all inclusive in the Chidish. However, says Reb Shimon, slightly different. And this is something we also spoken about. We mentioned this in the name of the Yerushalmi. Ulechai Rahayev Shalayim, says Reb Shimon, to be Gerish and Zachsa Toiro Esaniyar Bal Korcha. There is a Kenyan. There's a Kenyan Bal Korcha. We all think, and we talk about the Ktsaisis world of yes Kenyan, no Kenyan, we think that either she is Kenyan or she's not Kenyan. Says Reb Shimon, no. She's Kenyan, Bal Korcha. She's able to be Kenyan something against the will. We'll say it a little differently, the way Shmuel Rozovsky said it. It's like Yerusha, which means you own it without making an active Maisa Kenyan on it. But you own it. There's no question. Halacha Maisa, you own every get, even Bal Korcha. Therefore, says Reb Shimon, if you say it like that, it's not such a kasha anymore. If you assume that the way it works is that she owns it, although she didn't go through the regular process of Maisa Kenyan, so then the Torah made it hers, like Yerusha. There was a ritual like this that Shmuel Rozovsky quoted, Kama Yerusha. Therefore, says Reb Shimon, if you learn like that, then it's not a kasha. Okay. Mitzvah Shem, next week we'll talk about, based on these two tzadim in the Rishonim, how that's going to affect Mechab and Ramah and Shulchan Aruch, how to understand whether or not this applies to Gerushin and Kedushin as well.